Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates us and forms us, who redeems us and calls us, who unites us and sends us. Amen. Gathered into God's presence, let us confess our sin. Mighty and loving God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned our own way, and we divide the body of Christ. In your mercy, cleanse us and heal us. Let the words of our mouths and the thoughts of our hearts and everything that we do be filled with faith, hope, and love. Amen. Hear the voice of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim release to the captives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim to you that your sins are forgiven and you are released. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are yours forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
Blessed Lord God, you have caused the Holy Scriptures to be written for the nourishment of your people. Grant that we may hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that comforted by your promises, we may embrace and forever hold fast to the hope of eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Please be seated.
Come on up, kids. Wow. You know why I don't know that song? I can't talk that fast. I'm in right, out right, upright, downright, happy all the time. I'm going to remember that one. That's good. That's good. Do you know what you just did? You taught me a song. How many of you knew that song? Okay, some of you did. So most of you didn't. So you taught most of us a new song this morning. That kind of fits in with the story that we're going to hear in 1 Corinthians today, where Paul says that we are one body. We are one body with many members. And that is such a cool image. Because think what would happen if you guys, if your body had four arms and no legs. Would that be kind of weird? Yeah. Or what if you had four eyes and no ears. Would that be kind of weird? So Paul says we are members of the same body, but we have different gifts. And you guys have the gift of teaching us new songs. Because now I can go and I can have that song in my heart just like you. And that's because that's a pick-me-up song, isn't it? That picks you up. And if you're kind of feeling sad, you could sing that song, and I bet in a few minutes you'd be feeling better. And you guys taught me that song, so thank you. You shared your gift with us this morning, the gift of music. So if we are one body, who is the head of our body? Who is the head of the body called the church? Who's the head of the body? Yeah. Say it a little louder.
Jesus.
Yeah, let's say that together. Who's the head of the body? Jesus. Yeah. He's the one who leads us, who gives us our life and our purpose and our calling to be his children, to be part of his body. He's the one through whom we become part of that body, isn't he? In this gift of baptism, he calls us to be his children. And he gifts us. He gifts us with things about ourselves that we can share with others that become a blessing to them. So that's really cool that you guys were able to use your gift today of music and teach us a new song. Shall we pray? Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your life, for your leadership, for your call upon our lives to be your children. Live in us and help us to share you with others, to share our joy, to share our peace, and to share the abundance of life that you give us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's give God another hand for these kids and for their sharing the music this morning. You guys can go sit with your moms and dads. And again, thank you for that wonderful music.
Our first reading is from the 8th chapter of Nehemiah, beginning at the first verse. A reading from Nehemiah. All the people of Israel gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the 7th month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep," for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved. For the joy of the Lord is your strength." Word of God, word of life.
You alone are my glory. of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, much more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey in the
Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, beginning at the 12th verse. A reading from 1 Corinthians. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, there where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Jesus. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at his gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things we heard you have done in Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none except to the widow of Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage, and they got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through their midst and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So our sign text for today was half of this, but because it's really one unit, I felt it was necessary to read this gospel lesson. And so this week and next week you will hear the whole of this chapter 4, verses 14 through 31. And as I read it as a whole, it occurs to me that preaching can be a fairly dangerous work. I've often been afraid of that someone might throw rotten tomatoes, but I've never really thought much about being thrown off a cliff, but I suppose it is a possibility. In last week's gospel, John chapter 2, the wedding disaster at Cana, Jesus says to his meddling mother, when she tells him that the family was out of wine, "What has that to do with you and me?" He says, "My time has not yet come." Well, it brings me gladness to my heart for the sake of this couple and their family. It brings me gladness to my soul for the sake of all families and all sinners that Jesus was willing and often is willing to act even when it isn't necessarily his time. He brought honor to their name and to their house. He preserved their dignity. And it seems to me that that is the work of Jesus. That is the work of the Messiah. In today's gospel reading from Luke, unlike John's gospel, it is Jesus' time. It's clear that it's Jesus' time. He's been baptized in water with water and the Spirit and affirmed by the voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." He's been led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he has faced the tempter head on. He is then filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and returns to the area around Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. And his reputation begins to increase. It begins to soar. And that's when he returns home to his hometown of Nazareth. And I think my suspicion is that he's looking for some space in the midst of those who know him. He's looking for some rest and renewal at home. Nazareth is a small town, 18 miles or so southwest of the Sea of Galilee, and it lies 90 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And it's here that it becomes clear that Jesus' time has come. Jesus attends worship in the synagogue on that Saturday morning. He's invited to speak. He's handed the scroll from Isaiah, and he unrolls it to a text that becomes his inaugural sermon to put on notice the powers of darkness and death, the powers that confine and break the human spirit, the powers that work and stand against God's plan of salvation and shalom. To put on notice those powers, that their days are numbered, that their power is destined to fail. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he proclaims, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the jubilee when justice will come for the poor, the downtrodden, and the brokenhearted. After this inaugural sermon, with 9 words, Jesus reveals that his time has come. With those 9 words, he launches his mission, and he puts the opposing powers on notice. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. For the hometown crowd, this is initially good news. It's great news. Isn't this Joseph's son, they say? He's our boy. Surely that will give them the hometown or the home court advantage. But in Nazareth, their worldview is narrow. Their experience is limited. Many born there, I suspect, never left to live or to visit anywhere else. They were not immersed and the arts and the finer culture of Jerusalem or of Rome. They weren't necessarily poor, but they were 90 miles from Jerusalem. And we in North Iowa, we know that what it's like to be on the periphery. We know that our tax dollars that go to Des Moines tend to stay in and around Des Moines. And the money that does escape, sorry, Ben, I know you live in Des Moines, but the money that does escape tends to dry up before it gets here. To provide social services and quality roads and such things as this. The same was true for the Nazarenes as well. They lived on the periphery of life. There were people in Nazareth who carried the attitude, make Israel first. Make Israel great again. Build a wall to keep God in, to keep foreigners out, and to keep the homeland safe. But Jesus, in just a few verses, Jesus shatters that worldview by reminding those in Nazareth that there were plenty of widows in Israel during Elijah's time. But God sent him only to the widow of Zarephath, that foreigner in Sidon. He reminds them that there were many lepers in Israel in Elijah's time. None were cleansed, except Naaman from Syria, a foreigner. Inferring that he too would not allow the hometown crowd the home court advantage, but would cross boundaries, barriers, divides, chasms to reach the lost, the broken, the hungry, the hurting, the suffering, the forgotten, to bring life, to bring liberation, to bring salvation and shalom to their life and to their spirit. The Spirit has been and is leading Jesus. And it's clear that the Holy Spirit is on the move, blowing where it chooses. It cannot be contained, crossing boundaries, physical, social, economic, gender, and ethnic, boundaries of every kind to bring life, liberty, hope, shalom to the hearts of people. Dear friends, if you're not ready for a Jesus who crosses boundaries, you better get ready. He's going to cross until he gets to the lost and forsaken. He's going to cross until he gets to the blind and the lame. He's going to cross until he gets to the widow, the orphan, and the foreigner. He's going to cross until he gets to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the publicans and the sinners. He's going to cross until he gets to Republicans and Democrats. He's going to cross until he gets to Arabs and Asians, to Jews, to atheists, to Christians. He's going to cross until he gets to the rich and the haughty, to the proud and the strong. He's going to cross until he gets to the spoon-fed and the privileged. He's going to cross, and he's going to cross, and he's not going to stop crossing until he gets to the cross, where he finally gets to you and to me. Where he gets to every sinner. Because not one of us can cross the boundary, the chasm that lies between us and God on our own. We cannot do it. And so Jesus crosses, and he crosses, and he crosses some more until he becomes a bridge that leads us home. Jesus will shatter every barrier. He will shatter every boundary, every stumbling block that keeps any and every sinner from God, from life, from the kingdom, from shalom. Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus was anointed and sent to open the kingdom's gates to all sinners. Red, yellow, black, and white, blue, purple, and green, we are all precious in his sight. In him, we too are anointed and sent with his love to cross boundaries and barriers, sent to tear down the walls of hatred and division, to bring forth a true humanity made up in the beauty of God's diversity. In the creation, as we heard in the psalm, the beautiful psalm. That is the work of Jesus, and it is the work of his people. Carl Sandburg wrote this simple poem. There is only one horse on all the earth, and his name is All Horses. There is only one bird in the air, and his name is All Wings. There is only one fish in the sea, and his name is All Fish. There is only one man in all the world, and his name is All Men. There is only one woman in all the world, and her name is All Women. There is only one child in all the world, and the child's name is All Children. There is only one maker in all the world, and his children cover the earth, and they are named All God's Children. Amen.
And now are our prayers of intercession. As I finish each petition, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and please follow in unison with, hear our prayer. United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for the church. Empower with your Spirit bishops, pastors, deacons, teachers, evangelists, and all members of Christ's body. Open our hearts to hear your word of life and respond in lives of service. For this assembly, bless those who proclaim your word and those who teach. Pastor Hopp, Pastor Anderson, let us not forget all of those on the staff and all of those who volunteer or counsel and our teachers and our Sunday schools. Bless those whose talents are not recognized and teach us to honor the gifts of all your people. Lord, in your mercy. Creator Spirit, we thank you for this beautiful world and its amazing variety of animals and plants, rivers, lakes, life-giving air, soil and water. Help us to be good stewards as we preserve and protect these magnificent gifts. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray that in our country, the deep and divisive wounds of separation and division be healed by opening our hearts to listen to the truth on all sides, allowing us to find a higher truth that includes all of us. May we learn to honor and enjoy our diversity and differences as a people. Help our leaders inspire us and help us to inspire each other with our potential as individuals and as a nation, that a new spirit of forgiveness, caring, and honesty be born. Help us as a country rededicate ourselves to truly living as one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, help us remember our poor and neglected, the homeless and the destitute, the old and the sick, and all who have none to care for them. Help us to turn their sorrow into joy. Lord, in your mercy. And now, let us join in unison, listing those in our bulletin who are going through difficult times. They need our prayers and they need our thoughts. June, Rolf, baby Nora, Heather, Karen, family of Doris, Duane, Ione, Catherine, Tim, missionaries Colin, Genesee, Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Magdalenes. Lord, we last Monday celebrated Martin Luther King's holiday. We remember in 1963, I Have a Dream speech. And one of the great comments coming out of that, Lord, that he was inspired through you as a minister, is that the value of a person is not determined by the color of their skin, but rather the content of their character. And here we are 55 years later, Lord, and we are still trying to break the vestiges of racism. Today we read on TV and in our newspapers that our elected congressman is expressing white racism and white supremacy. Christ, rid us of these cancers. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, at times in our life, we simply have no energy left. We are weak and helpless. Help us draw on your strength, comfort, and courage for life's great challenges. And help us, Lord, to not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present our requests to you, and your peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Father, receive these prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please rise now and share the peace of Christ with your neighbor.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Receive the blessing. The God of glory dwell in you richly, name you beloved, and shine brightly on your path. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is your light.
Thanks be to God.